creating faith in him. I don't know how it does it. I just know it does. I believe it. Stake my life upon it. Verse 4. I know not when my Lord shall come. And you don't either, no other preacher don't. Thank the Lord for that. And God's not going to reveal it to nobody either. Even a prophet. He tells us the signs, the seasons, and the generation. That's close enough. All right? I know not when my Lord shall come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the veil with him, if I'll die before he comes, or live and meet him in the air. Praise God. Don't bother me. I just know he's coming. Praise God. I don't know all those answers. It is a lot of answers. Somebody says, oh, he thinks he knows everything. I just read you 4 things right there I don't know in one song. Probably get a lot of those songs and read you some quatrains and lines there that tell a lot of things I don't know. There's another old song says, there are some things that I don't know, and there are a lot of places I can't go. But I'm sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel him deep within. See, you got to know some things, and then you got to quit worrying about some things you never are going to find out till you see him and thank him for redeeming you and loving you and keep working on you until he makes it possible for you to get to heaven. Don't be a smart aleck. Be taught. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. I want to get to old brother Paul here writing this young man that was his protege and had the right spirit, and he had the right attitude. Paul could teach him. 1 Timothy 4, verse 11. Wonderful. These things command and teach. All right, he had to teach another young man to take his place. Verse 6, he says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Hey, teach the word, young man, but refuse profane and old wise fables. Don't listen to somebody slip you a mess of philosophy and junk and old bitter venom coming up out of their soul and being critical. Criticism is one thing that's constructive, and this old venom is something else. I have a lot of people hate me because, like Micah 3 and 8, he says, truly I'm full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to show Israel his transgression and Jacob his sin. Praise God. And I am. And I stay that way. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I'm going to die one of these days. I hope God, I'd really rather die and go on and meet the Lord dead. I'll get raised first. I'll go up ahead of you. Dead in Christ, you rise first. Praise the Lord. Have my funeral right out here. When Stephen died, the first martyr of the early church, the church made great lamentation over him. But I'll tell you one thing, there must have been some people came to his funeral and says, well, glad he's gone. He ain't going to torment me no more. So maybe someday, if you don't like my thoughts and preaching, you'll have a chance to come by and say, well, glad to put up with that no more. That'll be wonderful. I won't hear you. I'll be with the Lord. You can say what you want to say. Sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but your old words will never hurt them. Praise the Lord. Be taught. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter again. Just a little bit, as the old sister I talk about says, just a little bit more here. Praise God. Verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. You ought to read the Bible. But don't you sit there and try to teach yourself when the Holy Ghost is not teaching you. You read it, you learn it, but your interpretation can be so wrong. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. People aren't saved by interpretations of the Bible. You're saved by obedience and your experience in knowing the real Jesus. That's what you're saved by. Interpretation of the Bible don't save you. You got to study it line upon line, precept on precept. All right, 1 Timothy 6, verse 2. These things teach and exhort. You've got to be taught. You've got to be taught. And if any man teach you otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, that man is proud. He knows nothing. But all he wants to do is dote about questions and strifes of words. Let me tell you something. You get where you bicker over words. I don't know it means that. I don't think it meant just that. You don't study it to start with like that. You get another scripture and another one, and put it with it, and it all interprets itself. Praise God. But he says, they're full of strife and envy and railings and evil surmisings and perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. They're destitute of the truth. Yeah. And they suppose that gain is godliness. Get away from him. Withdraw yourself. That's the word of God. And we've got to be careful to do it. I want to give you some, oh Lord, I'm not going to get it all in here today. In 2 Chronicles 15, verse 3, now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. Yet, when they were in their trouble, they turned to the Lord of Israel and sought him, and he was found to them. Now the Spirit of God, verse 1, it came upon Azariah, and he went out to meet Asa. Here God had raised up a man to teach people that didn't have a teacher for a long time. Holy Ghost-filled teacher. Hear me, Asa! Oh, Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you be with him. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will what? Forsake you. Oh, my Lord. Don't judge a man being God's will by his ability, natural, his money, or his popularity. You can't judge him by that. You got to judge a man of God by God being with him and the word of God being in him. And when God puts his hand upon a man, he's going to raise up like Saul a band of men and touch the hearts that will follow with him. We need them here just like Joshua had. In Joshua 1, you need to be one of them. Joshua 1:16, they answered Joshua saying, after Moses had died and God had put the mantle of Moses upon him of leadership, all that thou commandest us, the elders said, we'll do. Wheresoever you send us, we'll go. According as we hearken unto Moses, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Anybody don't listen to you and obey you, we'll put him to death. Boy, don't you know that? Made his hand strong. Thank God, them elders. It goes on and tells you in the last chapter how that they overlived Joshua, and the people obeyed the Lord and served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua. And then there arose another generation that didn't have a real strong man, and they knew not the Lord nor the works that God had done for his people Israel. Let me tell you, God said he wants that man at his right hand to be strong so you will not go back from the Lord. If you want to be in God's perfect will, you got to have a strong man over you. All those young men in the Bible, Joash, Josiah, all those young kings and young leaders in Israel, as long as they had a strong man of God over them, they obeyed the Lord. But the Bible said, tragically, in 2 Chronicles 24 about Joash, it came to pass that his man of God, the strong man, he died. Then the young set come to him and turned him away from the Lord, from following the Lord. God have mercy. That's what's happening today. The younger set wants to pull you down with their old modern philosophies and trends of thought they got somewhere else. But I'll tell you, God will give us a mind of Christ that we reject everything that the precepts of God does not command and teach us to adhere to. Like David said, Lord, I esteem thy precepts concerning all things.